Pete. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm going to talk today about a specific project related to an orchid conservation program dedicated to native orchids that we started at Longwood Gardens about 3 years ago. And today I'm going to talk about one of the projects in particular. You can read the title there. I'm not going to read it for you. Basically, seed germination, in vitro development, and greenhouse acclimatization of spiranthes for collections development, for restoration purposes, for repatriation, et cetera. So I'm just going to go through this. And so if you look at spiranthes, we have about 45 species of them. There's about 23 in the U.S., and a few of them are endangered, okay? And basically every state that has a spiranthes in the United States has one that is at least state listed, okay? If you know anything about spiranthes, you know that there's a huge degree of taxonomic ambiguity, okay? Very, very difficult to identify these things in the field, in the laboratory, et cetera, and taxonomists will probably debate their taxonomy till the end of time. If you look at propagation and restoration studies of spiranthes, there's really only two of them out there. There's not a lot known about this. And this is sort of setting up for a project that the project I'm going to describe is Spiranthes casei in Pennsylvania, named for Fred Case, a well-known horticulturist and botanist from Michigan. And this species is an S1 in Pennsylvania. It's endangered in the state. And what happened was this species occurs, you can see where the red circle is there, in the north-central part of Pennsylvania in the Allegheny Plateau Highlands. And this also happens to be the part of Pennsylvania where there's a big boom in fracking. Okay, so what happened was this species thrives on disturbance. When the gas companies came in, they worked very closely with the state forest ecologists and identified these orchids along the road. But as the projects evolved for harvesting the fuel, the largest known populations of this particular plant were accidentally destroyed. And so what happened was is the DCNR, the Pennsylvania DCNR, contacted us and said, is there anything that we can do? And so I said, well, what we can do is we can go up and we can collect seeds and we can figure out maybe how to propagate these things. And we can do this for all of these various purposes, repatriation, restoration, collections development, et cetera. But as I mentioned, there's really not a whole lot known about spiranthes in general. And there's been no studies of Spiranthes casei in particular. So we just sort of set about trying to determine how we would go about propagating this plant. And so I'm going to go through this. So most orchids, if you put them into culture, especially epiphytic orchids, generally you have to surface sterilize and scarify the seeds at the same time. And so sort of a standard bleaching time, so using a mild 10% household bleach solution, the standard time would be about 10 minutes, okay? And so we tried this, and we put the seeds into culture, plated them up, looked at them under the microscope, and we had bleached the seeds into oblivion. There was essentially nothing left other than the testa. And so I remembered a mentor of mine, Dr. Warren Stoudemire, who did a lot of early work on germinating seeds of our native orchids, said, Spiranthes have really fragile or thin seed coats, thin testa, compared to a lot of other native orchids, which are actually quite tough. The seeds are quite tough. And so what we did was we started stepping back the bleach time and found that actually 3 minutes of bleaching, 3 minutes of sterilization was what we needed. And once we figured that out, we started putting the seeds on. We put the seeds onto these three different media, which are all available from Phytotech Labs, all media that were developed specifically for terrestrial orchid propagation. And we were wildly successful at this point. So you can see in the photo at the right, once we step back the bleaching time, the seeds germinated upwards of about 60%. And you can see all of the developing protocorms and different stages of seedling development there. So once we figured that out, we were sort of up and running. The next step was to look at the seedling, the stages of seedling development. And Spiranthes follows a really sort of classical developmental process for the seedlings. And so you can see all the different stages here. When they got to the stage where the shoot was starting to emerge, the shoots just sort of kept elongating. And there's this anecdotal evidence of people working with these and others and saying that a lot of our native orchids, they like to incubate in the dark, okay? Because if you think about the protocorm stage and the early seedling stage, they're living underground for a long time. And so these shoots kept elongating, and it really looked like, well, they're searching for light. And so that sort of prompted us to set up another study where we looked at a photoperiod study, basically took these seedlings, we had at that point propagated quite a number of them, and put them in on two different media, and then did three photoperiod treatments, constant light, 18 hours of or 16 hours of light, eight hours of dark, and then 24 hours of dark, okay? And so we basically grew the seedlings on in these conditions, and you can see the results there. They still lived in the dark, but obviously light is critical. That might seem obvious to a lot of people, but light is, other orchids that we grow, if you put them into the light at the wrong stage, they will essentially all die in our experience. So this was really pretty important to grow these. And if you look at our data, and this is really not meant to be read, we know that light is critical for seedling. We are able to identify a commercially available medium that gave us the best growth, so P723, which was developed, I think, at the Atlanta Botanical Garden and then commercialized by Phytotech Labs. And we figured out how to grow them. At that stage, we harvested all of the seedlings, gave them a 100-day vernalization period at about 35 degrees Fahrenheit, and then we set up a little study where we wanted to look at greenhouse acclimatization. And so we took the seedlings, we put them into one of four different media. We used three commercially available media so that others that might want to replicate this study would be able to do so. And then we used our Longwood Gardens research mix, which is developed in-house. And we put them into these media, and then we basically collected all these data points that you see down there on the left. And what we wound up with was... we had highest survival and incidence of flowering on New Zealand sphagnum. So New Zealand sphagnum is well known to orchid growers around the world. It's blonde, long fiber sphagnum, the living part of the bog, the top layer of the bog. It's harvested, it's dried, sterilized, and used quite a bit for growing different types of orchids. And actually, the lowest incidence of survival and flowering was on our Longwood Gardens research mix. The point was that we were able to grow the plants, we were able to grow them in tissue culture, propagate them in tissue culture, get them growing, and then move them into the greenhouse. And so it is possible. And what was really fascinating about this is that many of our native orchids are considered to be relatively slow growing and take a lot of time to flower. We've had the seedlings flowering 22 months from seed, so it's actually pretty quick following this protocol. What we also did, because we had a lot of seedlings, and this wasn't set up as an experiment, we just took those seedlings after we harvested them from the tissue culture setup, planted them out into these recycled bulb crates with Good Earth BC5 medium and grew them on, and we basically had the same result. These things flowered about 22 months from seed. We've had very high rates of survival, and the plants are starting to offset vegetatively now and grow quite well. So hopefully we now have these plants for our collection at Longwood, and the next step would be to give some back to the Pennsylvania DCNR so that they might be able to repatriate some of those populations that were destroyed. What's very curious about this, we did this all asymbiotically. Dennis alluded to the fact that all of these native orchids have relationships with fungal symbionts, right? They're eating the fungus as a food source, essentially, when they're young. We did not inoculate any of these with a mycorrhizal fungus, but what we found was that Dennis and Jay were up visiting us, and we sent them back with some of the plants we had propagated, and they found fungus in the roots of those plants and identified it as a Tulus nellis species. And so we're now, we don't know where it came from, whether it was in the medium, whether it's in the air, who knows? I mean, maybe some of these things are ubiquitous, but now what we're doing is we're moving into establishing and developing a fungal bank at Longwood. So we have fungus from plants that we've propagated. In addition to, we're working with many species of native orchids doing similar sort of research. We're now developing a fungal bank similar to what CIRC is doing so that we can use that to reintroduce the fungus to the plants, do germination assays using different fungi, et cetera, things like that. Well, I mentioned that Spiranthes is a bit of a taxonomic nightmare, and when I collected the seeds of these plants in November of 2015, I was assuming that they were Spiranthes casei based on what our partners were telling us. When I went up and saw the plants the next year in flower, it was immediately obvious that they probably were a different species. And then a recent paper came out which described two new species from Pennsylvania. And so what we have now is a situation where we have a state-listed species, we have two new species described to science, and I'm pretty sure that what we're working with falls into one or both of these new species. And so we're sort of at this crossroads of where, government and horticulture and all these different worlds are sort of coming together. So we're going to figure out exactly what that means moving forward. So in conclusion, we are able to sort of optimize a system for propagating these plants. Pretty straightforward. And now what we're doing is we're collecting seeds of other Spiranthes species, and we're doing exactly the same thing. And we're having success with these other species as well. And in particular, Spiranthes vernalis, which is another state-listed species that occurred naturally on Longwood's property, is now gone. We're hoping to use this protocol, propagate the plants, and then reintroduce them back to Longwood, so on-site restoration as well. References, thank you.